Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Human Challenge, where we explore all the human challenges in today's world, the challenges of being human, and how we can challenge ourselves to be more human for the greater good. I'm your host, Vanessa Ferlano, and we have the super exciting, jam-packed episode today. Look at all these wonderful faces. We're here today with Frank Barad, producer and activist, very active for Voices of Palestine, Yara Jamal, co-founder of Free Palestine Halifax, and Paula Sayoun, filmmaker and founder of the Palestine Impact Collective. She's a social innovator and also has Palestinian and Hong Kongese. So welcome. Welcome to the show, everybody. Happy to see you all and super grateful for all the work you do. I know for myself, I come from the social impact space as well. And since October 7th, there's been a lot of learning for me around this entire history. And so I'm grateful to have come across all of your pathways and you've all educated me so much through all your different avenues. Maybe to start, maybe I'll turn over to you, Frank. Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to, where you've been, because you're busy. I follow you actively and I just feel like you're in a new time zone every time I see a post.
Hey, hi, Vanessa. Hi, Paula and Yara. It's a pleasure to be with you today. I'm in Brussels now. I just came back from London yesterday. We're working on this project called Voices for Gaza, where we are getting people that have a microphone, so, you know, cultural figures, mostly to actually record testimonies that we've collected from Gaza. So over the last 5-6 months, we've collected about 40 to 50 testimonies from people on the ground, you know, video testimonies, written testimonies, poems. Originally, actually, it was because I also work with lawyers, and they were like, you know, get all the evidence you can get, because, you know, we need all the man and woman power we can. So we collected them to start with to potentially help legal actions. And but then we realized that it could be a good way, you know, to use them. In a way to give a voice to the people that don't really have one. So we've been doing that for about a month now. We started releasing some videos we recorded in Paris about 3 weeks ago. We filmed about 29 people in London over the last 3 days. And I'm actually off to Paris on Monday to record another you know, role of like French people. So yeah, that's what I've been doing for the last few weeks.
That's amazing. And I know you've been working with some pretty high profile voices and high profile people. And I'm kind of curious, like, what has that experience been like? You know, I feel like there's been a lot of people educating themselves on Palestine and then, you know, the whole history of it. And so I'm curious what that experience has been, especially when you work with high profile people from like Hollywood and all these different these areas.
I mean, it's been amazing on so many levels. So, you know, I'm not going to take like 10 minutes of your time, but I think we live in a very important moment, you know, and the genocide in Gaza has opened a lot of people's eyes. I really truly believe that. And I'm French, so I've been working with like French cultural figures for a while. And there was also this sense of fear when talking about Palestine. So people know what's happening, but they'd rather not talk about it because it's just dangerous for them, for their career and stuff. But over the last few months, you can see how through also education, because we've been having like, you know, closed meetings with these people, kind of teach-ins and stuff like that. You can see that once they get rid of the fear factor, they're kind of unstoppable. And they'll just talk about Palestine all the time. I've seen people on social media never talking about Palestine. And over the last 4 months, talking only about Palestine, you know, and you realize also that, you know, I was just back from London that, I mean, I'm going to sound like a very sort of, but most people are very good. You know, most people are actually good people, you know, and yeah. we can easily forget that because of the massacres all over the world and stuff. But, you know, this stuff about the analogy of the 1% and the 99%, I think it's still pretty valid. You know, most people I've met over the last 6 months and I've met like, honestly, hundreds of people that have stopped everything to work on Gaza, you know, from nurses to doctors, to filmmakers, and like 99.9% of them have been like amazing human beings. So that's what sort of keeps me going.
I appreciate that so much. And I think that's really great because Yara, maybe you can tell us a bit about your story because Yara was also in the media. She was a journalist. And then after October 7th started speaking out, obviously she had some unfortunate ramifications, but I know it's also propelled you. So maybe tell us a bit about your story there and then lead us into Free Palestine Halifax and the work you guys do and some of your excitement you've had over the weekend.
Well, first of all, thank you, Vanessa, for having me. And yes, I used to work for CTV News Atlantic. And after October 7th, I spoke up about my people and studying the Palestinian people. I went to a rally and my job found out. And an article came out with a few quotes of mine after being asked if Zionist ideology can exist in a free Palestine, to which I had replied saying, I mean, obviously not. So a Twitter thread started. I started trending as an anti-Semite. Next day, immediately, I just got fired without a head up or anything. Just a call, like, hey, we need you to come in. And I knew when I got the phone call, I was like, I'm getting fired. That's for sure. So then I got fired, and I currently do have a lawsuit against them. And I will continue on pursuing that. I'm also the co-founder of Free Palestine Halifax. It's the largest organization advocating for Palestine in the Meretz. I co-founded it with my best friend, Katerina Nikas. She's from Greece, actually. And recently we've had a rally on Sunday, and there was also another rally on Monday where people got arrested because there was no business as usual. That was the purpose, is to affect the money that the businesses are getting out of this genocide. And so there was 21 people arrested, and we are trying to get people to call the police station and call the Halifax Regional Police to drop the charges against the protesters because they were peaceful protesters.
Thank you so much for sharing that, and thank you for sharing your experience. I know that that's actually happened to quite a few journalists that I've spoken to. And so one, very sorry, but I'm glad that you're taking that action and that it's really been kind of supporting you into Free Palestine Halifax and all the work that you guys are doing. I was actually following that protest that weekend. I was watching it like all on Instagram. And so I'm grateful that there's some movement there in terms of the arrests as well. I want to turn it over to Paula and I actually worked together. And I mentioned earlier, she founded the Palestine Impact Collective, and we're both from the impact space. And so I think it's something that we're both pretty passionate about. Maybe Paula, share a little bit about your experience and where the PIC came from.
Sure. And I think it was great to first hear from Frank and Yada, because it just, I mean, it's all part of the same fucked up system. It's very much, I think this initiative came about because, I mean, my entire life experience, my family's experience, we're an old family from Haifa that left in 48. And my whole life growing up, and many people in my family have been told to just be careful in workplaces, you know, be quiet, not speak about it, like really just try to survive in this new adopted country that we're in, Canada. So in terms of all the career ramifications, everything like that, the fear, like it's very real for a lot of people. So a lot of that has been a personal journey, but that coupled with the fact that I work and have dedicated my life to impact, like the impact space. The sheer hypocrisy that we see within like workplaces that focus on impact, that focus on Indigenous reconciliation, decolonization, solidarity with Black communities, and the complete silence around anything to do with Palestine has been completely shocking, frustrating, and hypocritical. And I've been waiting for years for the conversation to come up in the impact space, especially in the social finance space, which is kind of a subsector that seeks to move the economy to better support community and planet. Nobody's talking about how economically we could support the end of the apartheid in Palestine and free Palestine through the movement of money globally, like it was done in South Africa during apartheid. So after waiting for years and not hearing anything, I was pushed and compelled to action in October of last year, obviously, like just the continuous suffering of our people, to just bring together a bunch of different impact professionals that both work in social finance and impact in Canada to see how we can leverage our professional skills, networks, whatever, to essentially do that, to move money in a way that makes sense for Palestine, but also to bring the conversation to professional spaces. As I was saying before, so many Palestinians are in hiding in their workplaces, grieving in silence, not able to speak out. So this collective is for both of those things. It's to mobilize. We have such incredible Palestinian talent across different sectors, be it journalism, be it like CEOs here and there, whatever else, but we're all disconnected and contributing in our individual ways, but we would be such a force if we came together and kind of push back against essentially the Zionist agenda to silence us and to keep us segmented, to essentially organize and all move together for a free Palestine and collective liberation. And so that was the inspiration behind the Palestine Impact Collective. And it's been amazing to see how many people have come and resonated with that call. Most of the collective is actually non-Palestinians, non-Muslims, non-Arabs, non-Jewish people. And so it's been great to see just how many people have felt that frustration and resonated and come to it. So we're kind of growing that movement and trying to be very intentional about, hey, the professional space and the economy has so much power in this case to move things.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing. And you know, I'm really happy to be a part of that because I agree. I'm also in the impact space, and it's been incredibly infuriating for me to see, yeah, just total silence, you know, and it's just like people, you can't even talk about it. You know, you talk about it. I remember, like, you know, in the workplace, I was like targeted and being told I was watching like propaganda, or a politically charged propaganda. And I was like, what? Like, politically, like, what does that even mean? Like, no, these are like not acceptable things. And I think, to your point, Frank, when you were talking about earlier, it's like, it's fear, right? It's just people, like, this fear is like so instilled in people. It's like, we're not allowed to talk about it. And I think that's the issue. And that's why these conversations are important. That's why the work we're doing is important. It creates that space to have this dialogue and to start like very slowly shifting forward.
A way you can fight that is through the power of the collective. In the private meetings we've had with like cultural figures and celebrities, whatever you want to call them, some of them, actually the more experienced one, like, you know, 50, incredible, I feel to be with you today and to see all the faces and to know that we are many, you know, and it was like, you know, and he's actually from Arabic descent. And he was like, you know, as an Arab in France, you know, in France, what, like when you're French, but you were, you know, from Arabic origin, when you lose, you're an Arab. When you win, you're French, right? There was this tennis player called Yannick Noah. Every time he won, he was French. Every time he lost, he was from Cameroon. You know, it's quite a very, you know, quite a racist society. And so this actor was saying that, you know, for 30 years, I've been, you know, working in big films and stuff. But without telling me face to face, people have made me understand that, look, you're an Arab, you work in the film business, be happy and shut up, you know, don't talk about things, you know. And he's always felt alone and isolated, you know, and you know, that's what power tried to do to you, right? Yeah. They try to say there's only one person that thinks like you, it's yourself. And then you realize actually we are many. And so it was very important to also make people feel safe, you know, and give them actually the tools they need to talk about Palestine. Because it's not a complicated subject, but it's made to be very, very complex. So people want to have like simple tools. And that's what we've been trying to do over the last 6 months. And it's working, and it's kind of really beautiful. You know, despite the horror on the ground, you've got to hold to something beautiful, you know. And this French actress just told us about 4 months ago that her dad was Palestinian. And she's like 35, and she never mentioned this anywhere before. And she actually thought her dad was kind of Israeli because he's Palestinian from 48. So he's got Israeli citizenship. And she told us, and we're like, wow, it's amazing and stuff. And now every time she's on TV, radio, printed press, she just mentioned it, you know. And it's us now going, hey, you know, take it easy. Remember, you've got a career and stuff, you know. Because she's like on a, you know, it's like unstoppable now. And it's very beautiful to see. And I think if we can change the narrative, you know, it's already be a sort of a big success.
It's such a specific moment in time. Like, I know so many other Palestinians that are now kind of stepping into it and like kind of shedding, I think, a generational fear that, Yara, you can definitely relate that, like, so many of our parents and grandparents felt. And it's just such a specific moment in time. And I love the thing about the collective, like the more people that you see, the more that we can show we're not the minority. We're not in isolation. People, oppressed people everywhere recognize one another. And it is such a beautiful thing in the pride of my life to be from Palestine. And I don't want to hide that anymore.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely. Like, I made sure everyone knew I was Palestinian. Everything. And like, that is also like why it started. Palestine, Halifax, there was no big visible Palestinian community. There was a Lebanese community, there was an but I never saw any Palestine. And when we started off, there was a lot of attacks way back when, 2019 and 2020, because people didn't understand. They just told, oh, you're being anti. But like we ran after October 7th, people are slowly starting to ask why. Why is that? Why is there attack? Why is there attacks? Why is there a genocide? And that's something I've always wanted people to ask, is just the why is this happening?
I appreciate that a lot. And I think I've noticed that too. Like I found for myself, as I was educating myself, you know, I found myself having different conversations with people too. And I found that when I was kind of sharing my learnings, I think that a lot of people were way more receptive to it than I think I initially thought. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't know, like people kind of got it. It was like, yeah, you know, this is what's happening. And you show them the videos and people are like, oh my God. And like people get it real quick. And that was actually kind of like pleasantly surprising, you know, but I think it just goes to show that power of fear, right? That it's like when you're just controlled and you're told that there's all these fear things, but then you go and look into it yourself, like people are actually very open to learning about it and hearing about it. And I think the issues that the fear-based narrative are the powerful people that control the media and control everything else. And I think that's the bigger issue, I think, right? That it's like, I think most people, like referring to your point, the 99 to the one, like the 99% of the people, they understand. Unfortunately, that 1%, they just have more control. And so the 99% of us have to work a little harder and, you know, the collective action to just like push past that and get people to actually keep mobilizing and keep actioning, right?
Yeah, in higher positions or in power, that's, are completely against the idea of Palestine or speaking about Palestine.
This is the challenge we are facing now, right? Because I think, Paula, you said, like, you know, this is a very different moment from anything we've experienced before. And but it's down to us to make it a radical shift in the way people think about Palestine. And, you know, and I'm old enough to remember many times before when we felt as activists that, you know, Israel shot itself in the foot. This is over. There'll be a before Operation Cast Lead in 2008, 2009, and an after Operation Cast Lead. And unfortunately, 6 months later, Israel was again hailed as this democracy and stuff. And but this time, obviously, the massacre is so obvious.
Yeah.
That I think, you know, it's really changed people. But I think it's going to only be down to us to you know. Stamina is a hard thing, you know, when most of us are doing this kind of unpaid, we activists, it's been, what, 7 months now? It's tough on everyone, you know, but it's you know, Jewish Voices for Peace said a few months ago, like, we owe Gaza endurance. And I think that's, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's really beautiful. We do owe Gaza endurance. And I think, you know, I think, like you said, it's so obvious, and it's just exposing all the hypocrisy. You know, like, I mean, I can't even watch any of the U.S. Senate. Like, I just can't. I'm just like, guys, like, it's laughable, you know, like you can't take any of what they say seriously. Like our Canadian government too, we're like, come on, like, it's so obvious now. And I think it's just at a point where it's pathetic, and it passed pathetic a while ago, I think. But, you know, I mean, I think for myself, and I've never literally followed politics until now. And now I'm just like, whoa. And now I'm making sure I'm at the voting polls. So I'm like, this is nonsense, you know? And it's just, and I think, even to, you know, we look like, I think this is the whole thing about human rights, right? But it's being made an issue of politics, which is wrong, because it's not a thing. It's not a political thing, right? It's only political because of the people that are in power and, you know, all this stuff with, like, you know, Israel, Iran. Like, I mean, I don't know. I just, it's very frustrating. You know, you hear these discussions because the real issue here is about human rights.
And I would say, actually, though, that, like, Palestine is the litmus test for all of our systems of inequity that exist everywhere. And Palestine has always, even before these last 7 months, has always put to the test different people, even in the Canadian political landscape. We can see, for example, within the Green Party, the entire debacle that happened, I think it was like 2 years ago, with Anami Paul, her having to step down from leadership of the Green Party because she literally had her very few members cross the floor or revolt because they wouldn't take an anti-Zionist stance. We've seen that kind of affecting, like, just every sector, like all the job losses, like even Sarah Juma and the NDP also being forced to leave. And so although we say, like, and I think it continues to be a litmus test for everything, and I think so many people, whether activists or even just lay people that are now getting to know about Palestine, they're seeing just how messed up and inequitable and the power imbalance in a lot of our political systems, like in the political parties. I can't even imagine in the United States when you have just like these two candidates where legitimately either way, it's just not going to change anything in Canada as well and different political systems across the world. And I think as much as like we say, like, I think what brings people in is that it's a human rights, and it is a human rights issue for sure, and that it's made political. But at the end of the day, it's like the people that kind of understand inequity and oppression that will push and change things for governments like it always has in history, even if those in the political powerful elite have a different agenda or rationale for ways to do things, as we see, as you said, with the distraction that is like the hyper-focus on Iran or on all these different like geopolitical interests that the West has in Palestine and in the Middle East.
Yeah, I appreciate that a lot. I'm curious, Yara, given your journalism background, if you have a perspective on that as well.
Well, it depends. Well, I like with journalism and Western media, like when I first got into journalism, I knew for a fact I will never be able to be a full-on journalist in Canada or the States, because I know I'd be basically selling my 2 years ago, the whole Palestine and reporting on it came up. And then I immediately knew, you know, I cannot be here because they're not going to hear my perspective. So then I started working behind the scenes. Even when I was writing, I would change wording. Like if it said Palestine conflict, I would tell them, like, this is what's the Palestinian resistance or the Palestinian cause, whatever it is. And that would never work. However, I will say I know change both in through social media, and because people are able to see us through social media, people's perspectives are still being, but the Western media or the media still play a huge role, because the problem earlier is like the people are higher ups, you know, and that's the issue. Yes, people are going on in Gaza, or we are seeing what's happening on social media and they're reposting, but there needs to be more, you know, like we need to consistently be holding the media accountable for what they're doing.
I totally agree with Yara and Paula, and I think that you know, there's the symbol of the key in Palestine, right? Because in 48, when the Nakba happened and more than 700,000 Palestinians were kicked out of Israel, they thought they would come back, so they held on to their key. And I really do think, and what you were saying, Paula, and that, you know, Palestine is for me like a microcosm of, in a way, everything that is wrong with the world. You know, vulture capitalism, power, state of emergency, militarization of our societies, this new definition of democracy potentially, because we forget that we keep saying Israel is not a democracy, but potentially soon Canada, France and stuff will be based on the Israeli model of democracy, you know. So I think it's a key of everything that's wrong with the world, and that's why it's so important, because it's potentially also a key through our activism and through the love and that of everything else that this world could be, you know. So, and that's why I think it's such a specific, you know, issue in our lives. And once people realize this, because again, people or the media tend to want to make you believe that it's a conflict 3,000 years old between Jews and Muslims. You can't do anything as a French guy, as a Canadian, you know. When you realize that actually you also have a little key to this, you know, issue, it just changes everything, I think. So yeah,
I appreciate that so much, and I think that's a really great way to close the show. We all have the key to create this change, and I think that we should all make sure that we remember that and try to use it as best as we can. So thank you, everybody, again, grateful for all the work that you guys do. I guess maybe real quick, you can just tell us how we can stay in touch with you guys. Go ahead, we'll go Frank first.
I only have Instagram, so it's like, I think, the number four Frank Barrett. And you just reach me through that.
Perfect. Paula?
Yeah, so Palestine Impact Collective is actually launching publicly soon. So we'll have that website up, palestineimpactcollective.org. And also, I'm a filmmaker and I'm making a film on the Palestinian diaspora in the West. So I think a lot of it is about how we need to tell Palestinian stories. And so many of us live in exile. And what is that like? What has it been like? How has the fire of resistance and like belonging not died in us? And that film is called The Young Won't Forget. And that's also our Instagram handle. So you can follow that.
Thanks, Paula. And Yara, how can we keep in touch with you?
You can reach me on Free Palestine Halifax on Instagram or just Yara Jamal on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vanessa.